Good morning. Welcome to Catskill Character. I'm Donna Fellenberg, and with me today from Milford, Pennsylvania is Heather Housekeeper. Heather has hiked the Appalachian Trail, was the first person to hike the entire Finger Lakes Trail system in one continuous journey, and has conquered many other daunting trails in the tri-state area and beyond. She graduated from the Chestnut School of Herbal Medicine and has written two books on edible and medicinal plants. In the first half of the show, we'll explore Heather's roots right here in Milford, Pennsylvania. Here we go. Heather, I am so excited to have you on the show today. Welcome to Catskill Character.
Thank you, Donna. I'm excited to be here.
Okay, let's start with some of your biggest influences, which, as I understand it, are your parents, your grandparents, and the Milford Experimental Forest.
My parents and my grandparents and I all lived together. And so my grandparents were very much an influence upon me. They were both plant lovers. They owned a nursery in Fairfield, New Jersey, where they lived before coming to Milford, Pennsylvania. And they dedicated their time to beautifying the land here. My grandfather had a garden, and my grandmother loved flowers. And so I feel I very much picked up my love of plants from them. My parents were both outdoorsy people. My father was very much an outdoorsman and had a strong belief in self-sufficiency. He was a hunter. My mother always loved horses, and I always had a horse growing up, and there is still a horse on that land today. So I learned from a very young age the value of plants and animals and other living beings besides humans. And the Milford Experimental Forest, I mean, what a gift. I grew up on my family's land. We have 6 acres, but very near to our land is the 1,200-acre Milford Experimental Forest. And just beyond that is the Delaware State Forest. So I feel I had a very unique experience to grow up surrounded by more trees than houses. And the Milford Experimental Forest is just enchanting. It's a privately owned research forest that today has a public access trail. But just walking down the country road through the forest was enchanting.
Oh my God, that sounds so incredible. Were you able to take your horse into the forest?
Well, we did take the horse down the country road. Yeah, that was commonplace for my mom to ride the horse, and then I would ride my bicycle, actually.
So when did you start hiking in earnest?
I was about 18 or 19 years old, and I started doing small sections of the Appalachian Trail in New Jersey and New York. I'd go out for 2 or 3 days at a time and camp out and really see what that experience was like, to sleep alone in the woods and figure out how many miles I could do comfortably in a day. And
so after you went to high school, you went to Warren Wilson College in North Carolina for environmental studies, and you remained there for close to 13 years. So I was wondering, what kept you there for all that time?
Asheville, where Warren Wilson College is located, is just such an incredible city, and it sits right in the Blue Ridge Mountains. So for someone who loves the forest, loves mountains, loves hiking, there were plenty of places to explore. And Asheville as a city is progressive. There was so much happening. I would go on to get my yoga certification there and then later attend herbal medicine school. So it was just a really special, vibrant place.
And recently, didn't they have floods there, which is something that never happened before, as far as I know?
Yeah, I mean, it has just been, it's been tragic for, you know, the folks living down there. I still have a strong community of friends down in Asheville, and also just for the natural landscape as well. That was really altered.
Heather, if there's one thing I know about you in the short time that we've been acquainted, is that you are someone who does not give up. One of the things I learned about you is that you attempted to hike the entire Appalachian Trail in 2007, and you had to stop. And you went back in 2008 and started again. What happened in those two attempts?
So in 2007, I was really kind of getting my feet wet, figuring out what gear would work well for me, what gear would not work well, what kind of shoes to be hiking in. Your gear will either work with you or it will work against you. Also, just gaining physical strength. I was a very active person. As I said, I was a yoga instructor. I trail ran, but it's a very different thing to carry a large backpack on your back over enormous mountains day after day. And there were many days that were honestly very challenging and not always enjoyable. And I think in 2007, I went out there believing in my dream and thinking that every day would just be magical and enjoyable. And there were a lot of hard days. So when I went back in 2008, I went back knowing that not every day was going to be a great day. Yeah. That there were going to be hard days. And you know, there's no escaping that. There's hard days in everyday life. And I also, you know, at that point, had my gear dialed in. I was physically much stronger. I'd already hiked 1,000 miles. I knew the trail was where I wanted to be in that. I was going to reach the end.
You know, it's funny. I had another guest on recently whose name is also Heather Horak, who lives in Livingston Manor. And she told me that she was hiking across Spain, and she had all of her stuff in her backpack, and she said her clothes and her belongings are strewn all over Spain, because she soon learned that she could not carry all of that stuff. By the time she finished, her backpack was like, I don't know how many pounds lighter, but I guess it's something that you learn from experience.
It is something you learn from experience. Yes, you really can only carry the essentials, you know, maybe a couple small luxury items, which for me is, you know, a plant guide, a tablet, but you really cannot take more than you need because every ounce counts.
So you encountered many things on the Appalachian Trail, I'm sure, and one of them had to be fear. You told me that for you, being brave means you find a way to work through fears. How do you do that, Heather?
So the Appalachian Trail was a great training ground for doing just that. You're right. I found myself fearful a lot, especially, you know, sleeping alone at night in my tent in the woods, facing wild animals like bears and snowstorms and such. But what I found was that oftentimes, the worst of it were the dramas that I was concocting in my own head of what might happen if. I learned that it was really just the dramas in my own head, because I would get through these challenging situations really unscathed. So I had this continual positive, you know, affirmation that I could make it through. And that taught me that I just have to find my center, take one step at a time, adjust, adapt, and carry on, and you'll make it through.
I think it's really a life lesson. It doesn't matter if you're on the trail or you're just in your everyday life. You make fear your companion sometimes. And it doesn't have to be that way. You anticipate things. So I think what you're just saying is really important for all of us to know, is that don't worry about something until it actually happens, right?
Right.
If you're lying in your tent and you're afraid a bear is going to get you, don't worry about it until it happens. And then you got your bear spray.
Right.
So you had this really successful hike on the Appalachian Trail. And I think you told me it took 6 months to go from Georgia, the beginning, to Maine, where it ends.
It did. Yeah, I started in late March and finished mid-September.
Do you have any particular memories of that experience that you'd like to share with the listener?
I really enjoyed the Bald Mountains in North Carolina and Tennessee. They're these just completely treeless mountaintops that you know walk over, and you can see the trail just winding its way across the mountaintops for several miles. So that was really fantastic. And then the White Mountains in New Hampshire too, similar experience there. You're truly above treeline. And again, you can just see for miles, not only the trail, but also in all directions with vistas. But, you know, on the Appalachian Trail and, you know, when I long distance hike in general, what I really take away is just this feeling of being alive. That's a really unique experience and feeling that I feel is very accessible when you're out on a long trail.
That's wonderful. I know that when you finished that, you went back to North Carolina and you finished a very intensive course at the Chestnut School of Herbal Medicine. And I was wondering what your first hike was like after you finished that and you were armed with all of this new information from your studies.
It was totally different. It enriched my experience on the trail, in the natural world, to be walking through the woods and suddenly recognize familiar plants like they were friends in you know, an unknown place, and to also meet new plants. It was like the landscape was suddenly illuminated and I could see and smell and feel so much more than I could, you know, when I didn't know the plants well. And it also gave me a sense, because I was foraging along the way, it gave me a sense that I was walking with the natural world, walking with the trail, rather than just kind of atop it. The forest, my surroundings were not just the backdrop for my human experience. I was participant in the natural world.
Well, you're talking about how this experience at the Chestnut School gave you a new appreciation of the natural world and a new understanding of it. But I'm wondering if it gave you also a new understanding of yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. To get to know the other living beings on our planet gives you a different sense of self. You realize that you are part of this, you know, living community, that you are always participant, even if you don't feel like you always are. And it gives you perspective. It gives you a sense of community, you know, even if at times you might feel like, say, when you're on a long trail in the middle of the woods by yourself, you might feel like you're isolated. You realize that you're never really alone. And also, you know, the skills that I learned through the Chestnut School of Herbal Medicine, how to identify and forage for wild edible and medicinal plants. Now I knew how to feed myself, how to heal myself if I didn't feel well. And that's very empowering. You feel like you've got these, you know, essential human abilities that you weren't necessarily brought up with.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much for that, Heather. This is Catskill Character. I'm your host, Donna Fellenberg, and I've been speaking with Heather Housekeeper. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Steve Inskeep with NPR News. Thanks for sticking with us.
It's Layla Faldin. Thank you for having our back.
It's A. Martinez. Thank you for staying informed with us.
It's Michelle Martin. Thank you for trusting us.
Thank you for supporting this station.
Thank you for supporting this station.
Thank you for supporting this station.
We'll get through this together.
Support Radio Catskill at wjffradio.org. Thanks.
Hey, theater fans. Curtain Call has been bringing you conversations with the artists who make theater come alive, from Broadway to right here in our own backyard. Now we're taking center stage. Starting Monday, April 20th at 7 p.m., you'll hear the complete conversations, no excerpts, just in-depth one-on-one discussions with the artists who bring theater to life. Join me each week as we continue spotlighting the magic of theater, one conversation at a time. Curtain Call, now, Monday nights at 7 on Radio Catskill.
I don't know about you, but this time of year, I miss a lot of people no longer with us. This is Angela Page. I host Folk Plus, and next Sunday at 2, I'll be playing songs by clever writers who bring back memories of those who are gone. I hope you'll tune in for Folk Plus next Sunday at 2, here on Radio Catskill. But they started around
Robin. Welcome back to Catskill Character on Radio Catskill. I'm your host, Donna Fellenberg, and today I've been speaking with Heather Housekeeper from Milford, Pennsylvania. Yes, as we discovered in the first half of the show, she did hike the Appalachian Trail, all 2,000 miles, and she did finish an 8-month intensive course of study at the Chestnut School of Herbal Medicine, and she's also hiked the Great Smokies and the Finger Lakes Trail System and the Tuscarora Trail. She grew up living right next to the Milford Experimental Forest, and she had a horse. In the second half of the show, we're going to find out how Heather has taken all of her accumulated knowledge and experience and incorporated it into everyday life, finding various ways to share it with you. Let's go. Heather, what are some of the ways you've incorporated this wealth of knowledge and experience into your everyday life?
So every day I make a point to get outside, to spend as much time outside in the natural world as possible. Whether that is going out into the backyard and foraging some wild greens for lunch or for dinner, taking a hike, going for a trail run, or just, sitting on the porch and taking in my surroundings, through my senses and listening to the bird song and the smell on the breeze. I think it's really important to not think of our time in nature as something that kind of happens out there or that's scheduled, but rather integrate it into our everyday.
Please tell the listener, because this is for them, about the School of Plant and Place Connection that you founded in 2023.
Yeah, the School of Plant and Place Connection is really an integration of the programs that I've been offering to the public since about 2010. But I wanted to provide a place and a means for folks to connect with the natural world, get to know the edible and medicinal plants that grow within their region, learn how to identify them, how to weave them into meals and medicines. And the School of Plant and Place Connection is right in Milford, Pennsylvania. And the programs largely take place on my family land, which is about 6 acres of forest and field. And then we also utilize the Milford Experimental Forest. So really special to come full circle as well.
Mm. Don't you have an immersion course coming up at I'm calling it SPPC, School of Plant and Place Connection?
Yes. So I'm super excited to offer for the second year the Plant and Place Immersion. And this is a 4-month program that begins formally in May and runs through the end of August. It's 120 hours of study in bioregional herbal medicine, which bioregional herbal medicine means that we're learning how to work with the plants that grow around us and also those plants that we can cultivate in the home garden. But this program provides all the skills that one would need to work with edible and medicinal plants as food, as herbal remedies, and to continue expanding their knowledge. Because when it comes to learning about the plants, it is a lifelong study. You're always learning. So we meet in person 5 weekends, as I said, from May to August. And then we have Zoom meetups kind of sprinkled throughout, about 2 a month. And then we also have bonus plant walks in early April and in autumn as well.
So if the listener wants to get in touch with you and is interested in this, there is a link, correct?
There is. Yeah. So you can go to School of Plant and Place Connection /immersion. Oh, I forgot to put the .com in, Donna.
Okay. Say it again.
Okay. The link is schoolofplantandplaceconnection.com.
Perfect. You know, I wanted to just say, I think this is another important way of taking care of yourself, is that you and your partner, Scott, take the whole month of February off and you drive your travel trailer down south. Where exactly do you go typically?
Yeah, so annually we go down in February to Asheville is usually our first stop to visit with our close friends and get some great hiking in there in the Blue Ridge Mountains, oftentimes on the Mountains to Sea Trail. And then we go down to Florida and we revisit our favorite portions of the Florida Trail, which my partner and I hiked together back in 2019. So we don't even see a beach. We stay inland and we enjoy camping with the travel trailer out in the prairie and also up in the panhandle. And we've also made a lot of good friends along that trail's route as well that we visit with.
Oh, that's beautiful. I know also that you're going to be going this summer, I think it's in June, to the Finger Lakes. What are you going to be doing there?
In the Finger Lakes, I'll be on a beautiful piece of land called the Great Swamp. And this will be a program hosted by the Great Swamp Conservancy. I'll be providing an edible and medicinal plant walk and then also a wild food tasting. So not only will we get out in person and meet the plants during our walk, but we'll also do a little bit of foraging and make a snack and a tasty tea from what we gather.
Now that's, of course, open to anyone. Is there a link for that? Or is that the same, would we go to the same link that you just gave?
So for that, you could go to the Great Swamp Conservancy.com. I believe that's right, Donna.
Okay, that's great. And if someone has a hard time and they can't get through, they can go to the botanicalhiker.com probably to get in touch with you, right? And I wanted to mention that is that you're known as the Botanical Hiker. You have a blog called the Botanical Hiker and people should check that out as well.
Yeah, the blog I started back in 2011, that actually chronicles many of my long distance hikes. The Appalachian Trail is not there. I don't think blogs existed, or I wasn't aware of them back then. But the blog chronicles all my long distance hikes and then also dives into a lot of interesting edible and medicinal plant study. And you can also read about what it's like to attend the School of Plant and Place Connection there.
Perfect. And speaking of reading, we have to mention that you have three books out. Would you give us the names, please, and tell us where we can get them?
Sure. So two of the books are plant guides. The first is A Guide to the Edible and Medicinal Plants of the Mountains to Sea Trail. The other is A Guide to the Edible and Medicinal Plants of the Finger Lakes Trail. And those are both guides that will be applicable to our region and could provide you with a lot of info on how to work with the edible and medicinal plants. And my most recent book is called Love and the Long Path, and that's about my partner and I's first long distance hike together on New York State's Long Path. And you can read about all the drama there of what it's like to, and the joy of what it's like to.
Drama and joy, I like it. And can you get those books on Amazon?
So Love and the Long Path, you can find on Amazon.
Okay.
You can also find Love and the Long Path and the other two plant guides on my Botanical Hiker website, thebotanicalhiker.com, and at the School of Plant and Place Connection website.
Perfect. You also work at Woodlock, don't you?
I do. I'm the herbalist there at the lodge at Woodlock, and I provide a variety of plant-inspired programs. So I provide edible and medicinal plant walks and herbal seminars, do-it-yourself herbal remedy classes like make your own salves or your own infusions. It's a lot of fun coming up with some different classes to provide the public there.
Well, my esteem for Woodlock just went up. that they offer you and those kinds of things. I think that's fantastic. You know, I'm a little crazy, Heather. And I was thinking that it would be so fabulous that if every elected official in this country and in the entire world, for that matter, was required to attend an immersion course at the School of Plant and Place Connection. Wouldn't it be a different world?
Oh my goodness, that would be amazing. you know, I think if our elected officials had to attend the immersion program, perhaps there would be more love and care for our non-human beings and the rest of the living world. Perhaps we could have some more legislation passed that was more nature-centered.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I just have one more question to ask you, and that's about ticks. I've had Lyme disease like 3 times, but you're out there with them all of the time. Have you found anything that keeps them from biting you?
I would really say your best defense is to check, and double check. I have not found any product that is 100% guaranteed to keep them off, but I just do my best to be vigilant with checking for ticks and changing your clothes when you do come back inside, and you know, being certain to treat your pets as well, because they can unfortunately carry them in too.
Yeah. And wear light clothing, right? Because they're going to show up better. Okay. It has really been a pleasure speaking with you today. I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for coming on Catskill Character today and giving us all of your experience and sharing your knowledge with us. I really, really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Donna. It's been so special chatting with you and your listeners, and I really enjoyed it myself.
Catskill Character is on every Saturday at
11:30,
except the last Saturday of the month, when Greg Triggs brings us Travels with Triggs. Be sure to join us then to hear more fascinating accounts of the lives of fabulous characters of the Catskills and beyond. I'm Donna Fellenberg, host and producer of Catskill Character, and I thank you so much for listening.
Recently on Wait Wait, Peter Gross just couldn't understand why it's so hard to get giant pandas to breed.
That's what I do my best work, is when people are watching me, and I have to propagate my species.
I'm Peter Sagal. This week, we'll do our best work while nobody's watching us, because we're on the radio. Join us for the week's news quiz. That's Wait Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Wait Wait, Don't Tell Me, Sunday morning at 10 on Radio Catskill.
Next time on City Arts and Lectures, indie film icon Gina Gershon. Over the course of 4 decades, she starred in everything from blockbusters like Cocktail to the cult classic Showgirls and the neo-noir film Bound. She'll share stories from an eclectic career and colorful childhood. That's next time on City Arts and Lectures, here on this public radio station.
Sunday afternoon at 4 on Radio Catskill.
Folk music is always renewing itself. Fine singers and players and bands slip from our attention and are replaced by others. Next time on The Wackaloda Monkeys with me, Graham Rice, here on Radio Catskill, we'll hear British and Irish singers and bands we need to remember a little more actively on Sunday afternoon at 3.
WJFF Jeffersonville. Streaming online at wjffradio.org. This is Radio Catskill, local news, culture, and NPR.